2 Peter chapter number 3. Again, we're going to focus on verses 1 and 2 this morning. Verse 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Peter is near to closing out a second letter to his believing brothers and sisters. Peter writes to people that he most likely has never met before and would only meet in heaven one day. You know, he's writing to people like us. You know, Peter, I don't know if God gave Peter the vision to know how far reaching his words would be. But Peter wrote to inspire us, and we'll see Peter one day in heaven. We'll be able to thank him for his obedience. He writes to fulfill the commandment of Christ, to strengthen the brethren, to show us what he learned of Christ, and to show us what Christ expects of us in our faithfulness to him. Now, Peter confirms that he is writing to believers by how he speaks so affectionately to them, to us, in his letter. He calls us beloved. He calls us beloved, a term that connects Peter with his readers, connects them through a like faith. Just as God the Father made a connection with God the Son in Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 17, where he says this: "When he spoke from heaven, he said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" They made a connection, and Peter makes the same connection with us. He says, we are of like faith. We're beloved in the eyes of Lord and in the eyes of the Lord. And therefore, he has a spiritual connection with us. And when God spoke to Christ, he confirmed for all who heard him that there was a special bond between Jesus and his Father. And Peter confirms that there is a special bond between he and his intended audience. Each were trusting in Christ as all in all. In writing to believers, Peter has found some good ground on which to build, to plant, and to watch the seed of God grow in the hearts of people. So he writes to believers, and he writes to us with a purpose, to stir us up. That's what the Bible says. It really means to wake us up. You know, sometimes we can be spiritually asleep. Well, he's talking about here waking us up, to make us to rise up in our hearts and to make sure that we know what we believe and why we believe it. It's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. He goes further still. He says that he wants to stir up our pure minds. Now, the word translated pure is really two words. Now, all of this is the introduction. The word translated pure is really two words. The first part meaning the sun's rays, all right? And the second part meaning to judge or to try. So in short, what Peter is saying to the believers is that he wants us to hold our hearts and our minds and our faith up to the light of the sun, and let the light of the sun reveal to us what it is that we really believe in. That he says, let's wake you up and let's do a real gut check. Check our sincerity. He says that we will only stay alert. We'll only stay awake. We'll only stay stirred up in our minds and sincere in our walk if we make sure that we never, ever, never, ever, ever forget God's plan. Amen. And God's man, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul challenged the church at Philippi, the believers, with a similar command. Look in Philippians 1. Philippians 1, page 867 in the Pew Bibles. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul challenged the believers at Philippi with the same command. Be stirred up, be awake. Know what you believe, and it is still just as applicable today. Verse 1, it says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the servants in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's important. If you highlight it in your Bible, highlight that, God is able. That what he has started, he's able to complete. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Translation, he says, you are my beloved. My heart is with you. He says, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. That's compassion. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, that's that same word there, that you might hold your faith up to the light, that you might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The message for today I've entitled, So You Would Know. So you would know. As Peter pleads with us to get to know the heart of God. And God has laid it all out for us. We simply need to seek him. And he will give us all that we need to know. 2 points today I want to share with you. We need to know the commencement of God's plan. And we need to know the completion of God's plan. Just yesterday, Kathy was telling me about a person who is a believer, but not really. Who believes in the Word of God, but wants to mix in some of the things that the world has taught. So sad. That's about really not understanding God's plan. And taking God's plan literally as he's laid it out for us. So much he wants us to know. So much he wants us to know so that we might have joy and that our joy might be full. But let's start out with the commencement of God's plan. Let's read 2 Peter 3:1-2 again. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Peter has given us a great truth already in this letter. In chapter 1, verse 21. Look at 2 Peter 1:21. He says this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, that's the thing that you need to remember. That God's plan, God instilled into the hearts of holy men of old, his plan, for many, many years ago, and he made it available to us. Now he says, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Why? Because they are the key to our understanding. They're the key to our understanding. Truly, they're the key to what we believe. You know, and it's like math, and I was just thinking all of a sudden, it's like, you know, Katie had some math last quarter that really gave her a hard go of it. But in order to understand it, Katie had to go back to some early principles of what she had been taught in math. And she had to apply those principles to what was going on in the current math class so that she could get those problems right. Like that, our key to really understanding God and God's heart is we have to go back and we have to make sure that we are always applying every principle that God has taught us to what we're reading today so that we might understand God's heart. It doesn't start and stop any one place. It's one giant story. It's one giant, I hate to say, use the word story. It's one giant account of what God has promised to us, what God has done for us. So now he says we have to hold on to what they have said, and we have to hold it to the sunlight and determine the sincerity of what God has said to us, of what it means to us. You know, we might be tempted to start the story of the prophets in Genesis chapter 12, where God speaks with Abram and promises him the whole earth, that the whole earth will be blessed through him. But we can go back even further to see the beginning of God's plan. And that's what I like to remind myself. The plan really started with Adam and Eve. Now go back to Genesis chapter number three. That's on page 3 in your pew Bibles. The plan, God's plan really started with Adam and Eve after they broke their promise to God. And God had the opportunity at that very moment to destroy them. But God inspired Moses, who we give credit to for having written this beginning story, even though he wasn't there. But God inspired Moses to write of his grace. And he revealed it there to us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 21, here's what the Bible says. It says, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." You say, what does that got to do with grace? Well, let me tell you. It was the innocent was sacrificed for the guilty. What had that animal or those animals that were killed to make clothing for Adam and Eve, what had they done? You think of the way that God created everything in the beginning. Everything was in concert. Adam and Eve didn't eat animals. They didn't have any purpose to kill them. Animals didn't kill each other. God provided everything, had a way to eat. Everything ate from the land. And here, when they broke the promise, when they broke their promise not to mess with that tree, God came along and God said, rather than to bring about the ultimate penalty of being forever separated from him, God says, bring me the innocent. And I will shed that blood and I will use their skin as a covering for you. That, my friends, is the beginning of God's story of grace. That's the beginning of God's story of grace. And that's the beginning of God's plan for mankind. Then Moses, God's prophet, he told us the story of two brothers, which helps us to greater understand God's plan for us. Cain and Abel, you remember them? In Genesis chapter 4, flip there if you would, to Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 3. God tells us of these two brothers, Cain and Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. They both brought sacrifices to the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Let me just insert here that God had a way. And I believe that God had explained his way to Adam and to Eve and to their children. And his expectation was that they would follow whose way? His way. And Abel followed, the Bible tells us. And the Lord had respect on Abel and his offering. Verse 5 says, But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth or very mad, and his countenance fell. His spirit was broken. But Cain did not follow, and the Lord had no respect. Not of Cain as a person, because that's not what God is talking about here. Don't get mixed up to think that God just didn't like Cain, because that's not what this is about. Because the Bible tells us that God has no respect of persons. That means all are welcomed into the kingdom of God. We're all on the same playing field. We're all to comply with God's commands. And if we comply, then we are righteous. And if we comply, then God accepts our offerings. Amen. And if we fail to comply, then we're separated. We're wicked. God has no respect on that. But verse number 6 says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Translation, why are you so mad? Why you got your face all tore up? Why are you walking around here pouting, he says. And here's where we see God's grace. And I want you to understand God's plan. Here's where it started. God said to Cain there, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? That's God's plan. He says, if you will just do right, if you will do right according to my plan, you will be accepted.
Amen.
Hey, there's salvation right there. There it is. Then he says, and if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. Now that word sin, if you just read that, it sounds like if you don't do well, sin's waiting for you. But what that word really is talking about is a sin offering. He says, if you don't do well, he says, then I provided a sin offering. You can just come and you can bring a sin offering. You can come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he says, and I will accept you as well. That's God's plan. It's just like when we read over in 1 John, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and he is just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what God was saying to Cain right there. Will you? Sin offering right there. God says, I provided a sin offering. Will you just make that offering? Will you just take the life of one innocent one so that your life might be spared? He says, and then everything will be just like new again for you, buddy. And that's what the rest of this verse says. And unto thee shall be his desire. Now Cain was the older boy. And being the older boy, he had the birthright. And there were certain things that were just, you know, to happen because of the birthright. He was the one who was going to get the blessing. He says, if you will just do right, then the blessing is yours. He says, and thou shalt rule over him once again. That's what he was telling them. If you do right, if you follow my command, I will accept you. And if you do not do well, then you better make a sin offering. And if you will repent and do right, then you will have the place in my heart and the place in your family that has always been yours. That is God's plan. That's how it started. And it's the same plan today. And God confirms that there had to be some blood shed so that the offering might be complete. Now, I want to make a quick jump. Then we're going to come back. But look over in Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus 17, page 97 in your pew Bibles. Just one verse I want to show you so that you might see what God was doing and what God was offering, what he did for Adam and Eve and what he offered to Cain after his sin. Leviticus 17:11 says this. Where God is telling the children of Israel and all who are with them that they are not to eat or drink of the blood. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. Why? To make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. That's God's plan. So even at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, God says, I will make an atonement for you. So that your soul might be cleansed through the shedding of blood. Peter says to us, we need to go back and we need to study these prophets so that we will know of God's plan. So that we will know specifically of God's plan. Now, go to Genesis 18, page 13 in the pew Bibles. So now, if we were walking our way through Genesis, we walked through chapter 3, we walked through chapter 4. If we were to make it up to Genesis 12, we would see that God gives Abram the wonderful blessing. He tells him that the whole earth is going to be blessed through him, but God's plan goes beyond even that. I want you to look in Genesis 18, where God visited Abram and he changed his name to Abraham. Abraham means the father of a multitude or the father of many nations. And God gave Abraham at that time circumcision as a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham. And the Bible tells us that Abraham obeyed God and he circumcised all that were in his house, his servants, his boy Ishmael, everybody, because he wanted to show his obedience to the commands of God. Amen. Then God went one step further and he promised to Abraham that he would have a child by Sarah. And that that child would be the child of promise. But immediately thereafter, we see the long suffering of our God so that we might understand the plan of God. We see the long suffering of our God in that the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, I believed, visits Abraham again. And he speaks of the judgment that he will bring upon the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we see God's heart towards the forgiveness of sin. Abraham pleads with God that he spare all those who are righteous, even though they are living in a sinful city. Application, guys. Just as we read in that Christmas hymn this morning. Though it might appear in the world that God is dead and they're mocking everything about his name, we need to know that God is still alive and well.
Amen.
And that even in the midst of a sinful nation, a sinful earth, God is still a God who will deliver the righteous.
Amen.
He will pluck us right out of all of this, and he will save us. And we need to stand on that. And the evidence of that is God's plan, we find even in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Skip down in chapter 18 to verse number 23. It says, and Abraham drew near. And he said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, God has just told him, I've heard the cries of these people down there. Terrible things are going on. I'm about to go down there and take care of business. He says, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He says, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? He says, Lord, aren't you the God of mercy? Verse 25, he says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham still says, God, aren't you the God of the righteous? Aren't you a God who is long-suffering towards us? Aren't you the God that's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Aren't you that God? He says in verse number 27, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50. Will thou destroy all the city for a lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy. Grace. Abraham said, in verse 29, he says, and he spake again unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Do you see God's heart? You see where it started?
Amen.
Verse 30 says, and he said unto him, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. He said, just one more time, Lord. Peradventure, just 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Do y'all see God's heart there? He said, how about 50? But But if you lack just five, Lord, will you do it still? He says, all right, 45. How about 40, Lord? Okay, 40. 30?
Lord, you ought to die.
Okay, 30. 20. Okay, 10. And God's heart said, yeah, for 10 I'll do it. What is this heart? Where did this plan start? Where did grace start? It had no beginning. It's always been God's plan. He says, stir up. Awake your spiritual minds.
Amen.
Compare your faith, he says, to the faithfulness of our God. And remember who he is and what he has done to prove his love to us. What has he done? He said, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness for the obedient. And one more thing he said deliverance. Look in Isaiah 40, page 538. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Now he says deliverance. He has shown us his heart and he has given it to the prophets of old. In Isaiah 40, beginning at verse number 1, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now God has said, yes, I'm the God who judges. But in the midst of all that judgment, he says, I am also the God who forgives. And not just forgive, but I will deliver. In verse number 3, he says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand how long?
Forever.
Forever. There's his deliverance. His plan began with the ending already planned. Peter said that we should study the prophets of old. We should know what God has instilled into their hearts. We should see what God has taught them, what he has told them. And we should use that to stir up our faith, to waken us up. So that we might be strengthened through the promises that God has made and that God has kept already. The commencements of God's plan. It started. It started with the prophets of old. God gave it to them so that we might be mindful, so that we might be put in remembrance, so that we might be stronger in our faith. So that was the commencement of his plan. It started at the very beginning. Now, how about the completion of God's plan? Go back to 2 Peter 3 one more time. He says in verse 1 again, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. I think it's safe to paraphrase Peter this way. Arise and check your faith by remembering the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and compare it with the commandments of those of us who were with Jesus when he was here. You will see, Peter says, there is no gap. There are no discrepancies. There is no way that it is not truly God's plan. There's no way that we did not know him for ourselves, that we did not see him. And it's through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we will be His and that we will be with Him one day. Peter says that he has already found victory in the Word of God and through the person of God, Jesus Christ, His Son. He saw, guys, the very fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 40, verse number 5. You remember we just read that? It says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." What's the glory of the Lord? Jesus Christ, His Son. It says, "And all the world will see it, all the flesh will see it together." History spoke that the children of Israel were delivered. Yes, and they were delivered during that time of Isaiah's writing. They were delivered from their enemy, and all the people around saw it. But I believe this was a prophecy about Jesus Christ, that He was coming, and that He would be seen in all of His glory as the completion of God's plan. Peter says to us, compare it, if you will. Taste and see how good God really is. Stir up your minds. Be awakened. And it is with this knowledge, I believe, that Peter wrote earlier in his second letter there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Flip back there. You're still in 2 Peter. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw Him. We beheld His glory." We saw the very heart of God. Let me show you how John put it. Look in John chapter number 1, page 779. John said the same thing about Jesus. John chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 14. Here's what John said about the completion of God's plan. About the sincerity of this walk with the Lord. He says, "And the Word was made flesh." There's the glory of God's glory right there. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He says, there it was.
Amen.
God's plan just right before our eyes. He says, "And John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Y'all see that? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, "Who art thou?" And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked Him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And He saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And He answered, "No." Then said they unto Him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Y'all hear me? I am the one fulfilling the prophecy to show you that God's plan, it started way back yonder, and it is being completed by the very Son of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." What is He saying to them? Make straight the way of the Lord. You know what He's saying? Get your heart right with God. That's the only path that you can make straight. It's your own. He says, make a straight path. Make a straight path. Make a right way, the way of the Lord in your heart. That's what the prophet said. Arise, wake up, stir up your remembrance. He was talking to people who knew the words of old. He said, hear the word of the Lord. See the plan of God. It started way back then, and it is all falling into place. Make straight the way of the Lord. Make a way for the Lord in your heart. Whatever it is that you have to do, do it to make a way. Whatever it is. Hear the Lord. Fall in love with Him. Live for Him. That's what He wants all of us to do. Peter said, stir up your remembrance. Now John says, stir up your remembrance. Arise. Pay attention to God's plan for us. One more. We can't leave Paul out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's on page 854 in your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning at verse number 14. Paul, talking to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 14, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He says, we're in love with the Lord. He's got a hold of our hearts. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want you to see this plan. I was just blown away by God's plan here. He says, to wit, in verse number 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I want you to know that what I believe God is telling us here is that God was in Christ, and he reconciled the world unto himself through Christ. And that was his plan. He did not charge us with our trespasses. That's what impute means. He did not charge us for our trespasses, but he followed his eternal pattern. What was his pattern? Watch how it all comes together. When Adam and Eve sinned, he shed innocent blood for them. When Cain sinned, God offered him innocent blood to be shed for him. When he saw my sin, he offered the innocent blood of Jesus Christ. The same pattern, the same plan coming together for mankind. He didn't charge me, but he gave me a son. He says, that has always been my pattern, and it's always been my plan. Wow. He shed innocent blood so that I might be free. He could have charged me, but he didn't. Peter says, open your eyes. See the glory of our God. Compare what he did with what he's still doing. And make a way in your heart for him. A little bit more in 2 Corinthians there. Verse 20, he says, now then, because of what Christ has done, we are ambassadors for Christ. We need to be like Paul. We need to let the word of God constrain us. Get a hold of our hearts. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And if you're still fuzzy about what God's plan is for us, I don't know how much clearer I can make it than verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And what was God's purpose? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There it is. The completion of God's plan. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him and through him. Arise, he says. Wake up. This is no time to be spiritually asleep. He says, hold your faith up to the light. The sunlight. The S-O-N light. And even the S-U-N light. Where do you stand? On what do you stand? Know what you believe and in whom you believe. Can I challenge you to know what he said? Know what he has promised. And commit it to your heart. Believe in him. And live for him. Believe in him. And live for him. Let's pray. Father. So much we could know. Through the study of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that where we are sleeping spiritually, you might encourage us to arise, to be awake, to see the urgency, Lord, of getting the message of Christ out, to see the urgency of living our lives in true commitment to you. Lord, as we wonder about the things that are going on around us, of the evil and wickedness that we observe in our world, Lord, I pray that we might not get consumed by it. I pray that we might not forget that our God is still God. Amen. That our God is still the author of the plan that he has recorded for us in his word. A plan that has never been altered. A plan that can never be altered. A plan that says through our righteousness, the righteousness of God, I should say, Father, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we might stand on that promise. Stand on the promise that you've done all that so that we might be made righteous, so that we might be made holy, so that we might be made able to stand in your presence one day. Lord, I am thankful, so thankful for your word. I pray, Father, that your word just might run through us, that it might just dwell in our hearts and in our minds. And at the time, Lord, when we need it most, I pray you'd help us to be able to recall it so that we might be encouraged or so that another one might be encouraged. Lord, I pray that you will just give us that power so that your name might be glorified. To God be the glory. Great things, Father, you've done, I pray. Help us to see it, know it, live it, believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.